Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's the pride of Villanova and, of course, a Hall of Famer, and now does great things on Fox. And Fox has the game 4:40 on Sunday, Eagles and Saints. He was nice enough to join us a bunch last year during the Eagles' run to the Super Bowl, and he joins us right now again, Mr. Howie Long. Howie, John and Ike, how you doing?
Doing well. I'm doing better this week, yeah.
Yeah, how was it? How was that last week with your two kids playing each other?
It's always hard. I wasn't sure. The biggest concern that I had was, you know, where Kyle was physically. Mm. You know, coming back from he's in a walking boot for 8 weeks and not a walking boot the first 3-4 weeks where it was no weight, and then 8 weeks, and then pulls it off, practices 2 days, and plays 28 snaps versus Minnesota, and then, you know, you get Fletcher Cox for, you know, it's an all-day sucker when you get Fletcher. And how he held up, and he held up fine. And Chris played well, and no fights. They both embraced at the end of the day, and that's all you can hope for. Who wins? I mean, that's, you know, listen, I don't pray for wins. I pray for health.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, never pray for wins.
Yeah, but, I'm pretty sure, and I don't think it was the first time they played each other, right?
No. Right. First time they played each other, didn't go well. Kyle had it in his head that he was going to fight William Hayes, you know, by Tuesday. And sure enough, they got in the game, and Kyle was body slamming and pummeling William Hayes. And Chris ended up having to run off the sideline. And, you know, because when Kyle kind of goes red.
I remember that. I do remember that, man.
It's hard to bring Kyle back. he's a different cat. He's wired a little different. Chris is a psychological terrorist. You know, he probably FaceTimed Kyle 14 times during the week and, you know, had Waylon sing the Eagles fight song to him. You know, I mean, just torture. But it all worked out really well. And, you know, who wins is who wins. I mean, you know, this has been a remarkable, to say the least, turnaround for the Eagles as a football team since that New Orleans game. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for the people in that locker room, and it's a tough-minded group and has what I consider to be really good leadership on both sides of the ball. And Nick, he's the guy I want in the bomb squad. I mean, he's the guy I want cutting the red or the blue wire because his heart rate never gets above 62. It's a fascinating, fascinating story.
Yeah, Howie, is it? I mean, obviously, a lot of things have changed with the team since the last time they faced each other.
Sure.
But I mean, is it as simple as that? Nick has played well. Nick has come in and give some energy to the team that really helped turn the season around. Do you think it's that simple to say?
No, I don't. I think there's a number of things. One, the offensive line is healthier. You make the addition at wide receiver. And I think the run game, or at least the commitment to the run game, last week was a great example. You know, where was the run game going last week?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. But you have to stay committed to it.
Yep.
You just have to do it. you know, and there are great examples of it around the league. For those RPOs, run pass option. It's simple. There has to be a run component before the pass component to, you know, get Akeem Hicks and, you know, and company and Khalil Mack to, you know, buy into, at least acknowledge the fact that you're willing to run the football. And they stayed willing to do that. And Nick's ability to make plays you know, they're two different guys. I mean, Carson is an extraordinary talent, and I loved him in college, and you know, think he's got a really bright future with Philadelphia, and I think he's going to do great things. That being said, Nick has been through hell and back, having played in St. Louis and being on those teams where, you know, it's almost like the Coliseum where they're sending the next gladiator out to be, you know, mauled by the Tigers. That's what playing quarterback in St. Louis was like. And Nick went through that and came in and had success in Philadelphia, left, came back, and, you know, talked about retiring. And it's a fascinating story, but his ability to convert in, you know, you go back to last week, just this past weekend, his ability to convert in key situations, you know, third and long, whether it's red zone, it's fourth down, it's end of game, you know, part of it's play calling, part of it's execution. Part of it is, you know, for whatever reason, Alshon has just exploded with Nick, and, you know, wasn't a factor down in New Orleans. And you know, Carson will be the first one to say that, you know, it just wasn't one of his best games down there. And it wasn't one guy or two guys. It was just a collective kind of deal. And I think New Orleans made a big deal out of, and they openly made a big deal out of the fact that, you know, they felt like the Eagles Super Bowl was their Super Bowl. And, you know, just a fluke catch by the Vikings at the end of the game is the only thing that prevented them from having the Super Bowl. And when they had the opportunity, you know, versus depleted secondary versus guys that had been with the team for, like, you know, I think they really just measured them up for sweatsuits and they got in the lineup, they lit them up. Yep. I mean, lit them up. And it wasn't just the secondary. It was the defensive front. It was the offensive line. It was the quarterback. It was the wide receivers. We've all had games like that. And the thing you want to do when you have a game like that is, I can't wait to play you again. It's the only redemption. It's the only way to have peace. It's the only way to sleep.
Yep.
And I think that's where the Eagles are right now. And then add to it, you know, when the running backs are dancing on the sideline and they're showing it on the Jumbotron at the stadium in the third quarter and they're running a wheel route, you know.
Sean Payton's running up the score.
Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah.
Right,
Jenkins,
right.
Yeah.
You know, listen, hey, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, ask no quarter, and they give no quarter. and you know, and that's fine. The Eagles, I think, wanted this, and they've got it. Now, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, some good matchups this weekend, and, you know, with the Eagles being against the Saints the last game of the weekend, you look at this NFC, Howie, how do you see the two matchups in the NFC? You know, I obviously know who you want to win as far as where your son is playing at Sunday, but you look at that Cowboys-Rams game. How do you see that game sort of playing out?
Well, the Cowboys defensively, and, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, having seen them twice, and you guys have covered them pretty extensively. That defense really plays well, and they fly around, and they're really talented up front. You know, those two inside backers are really special. you know, the kid from what school did he go to?
Which one?
He's a wolf hunter. Golly, he's an amazing talent, and you know he's a guy who played 8-man football. And if that's how people from 8-man football tackle, we need to find more guys from 8-man football because he's a tackling machine. What Rams team? I think the big thing is one. I think everything with the Rams.
Hold on, you mean Van Der Esch? Did Van Der Esch come from 8-man football? I didn't know he came from 8-man football.
Oh God, yeah, he's from the middle of nowhere. He's actually a wolf hunter.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, this is one of those guys from like Montana or, you know, the Canadian border, and you know his dad's a hunter, and you know that's what they do for a living. Huh. fascinating guy. But to me, it really comes down to this. You know, they microwaved a defense in Los Angeles with the Rams. You know, they bring in the two corners. They bring in Ndamukong Suh. Aaron Donald's from Area 51, he's just amazing. He's maybe the best I've ever seen at a three technique. Can that group play up to the level of what the expectations are? That's one. Two is Todd Gurley healthy? Because everything about that offense, you know, throw out all the pre-snap shifts, the jet sweeps, the, you know, all the bells and whistles, all that stuff. If Todd Gurley is not Todd Gurley, that offense is very different. When he's going, the quarterback is throwing in rhythm, on schedule, and the offense runs seamlessly, but it's all set up by the run. It impacts the protection. It impacts people getting free runners on play action pass. You know as well as I do, there's nothing more difficult to do when a team is running the ball effectively, and you've got free runners in the secondary because people are biting up and frightened to death because Todd Gurley's already picked up 160 yards. And Dallas is the same way. It all centers around, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. How successful is he in that offensive line? So it's fascinating. I think you could make a case for, you know, Dallas to go out there and pull off an upset, but I think it all comes down to Todd Gurley and that defensive front for the Rams. They were brought in for this. Now's the time. Mm-hmm. Be special. You know, it's like there's a light on everyone at this time of the year. It's up to you whether it's a spotlight or a searchlight.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Howie, do you think the formula for winning the game for the Eagles on Sunday is similar to the Patriots, right? A lot of people thought going into the game the defense was going to have their game of the year. Meanwhile, what happened? They had some big stops, but Nick Foles and Tom Brady went toe-to-toe, and Nick ended up being on the better end of it. Do you think that can happen in New Orleans? Is this going to be a similar game to what we saw in the Super Bowl, or is the defense need to step up to win this game?
You know, this is one of those games based on what you saw earlier in the year. I quite honestly, do I expect a blowout? No. Do I expect a much closer game? Yes. What that game will look like, I'm not sure. But what was the record the Eagles had going into that game? I think it was 4-5, and they lost two of their previous three. And, you know, they were reeling about as much as you could reel. And, I mean, they were all but dead. People were saying, hey, go lay down. You're dead. And that game was kind of the, you know, the exclamation point on it. And to use that game as the catalyst for bringing it back together through the leadership of the football team and the coaching staff, et cetera, is a real testament to the will and toughness that obviously brought them a Super Bowl last year in a game like that versus New England. So with Nick, I mean, big game, key situation, tough third down, key third down, fourth down, red zone, got to have it at the end of the game. I don't think anyone's putting Nick in Drew Brees' class, but at some point...
Oh, some people, you know, are.
At some point, you got to say, you know, once is, you know, a coincidence, twice is, you know, somewhat of a pattern, but, you know, at some point, you got to say, Nick Foles is pretty damn good.
No, he is.
No, but people outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The conversation is, when will Nick Foles turn back into the Nick Foles of St. Louis? I don't think that's happening. For whatever reason, Nick is, he just seems like a guy who's really at peace with who he is and where he is and the moment. And not looking beyond it, not looking back. He's in the moment. And that team just really seems to play with great confidence with him in it. And I know, listen, we've all been embarrassed as players at one time or another. The one thing you want to get is redemption. And that's a big factor. the emotion of that is a big factor in this football game. I'll be really, really fascinated to see how this Eagles team plays down there.
Yeah, I think we all are. Howie, we always appreciate it. Are you giving us a lean on where you're going? Can you give us a lean where you're going on the game? I know you guys have the game on Sunday.
You talking about Philadelphia, New Orleans?
Yes.
Is this like...
That's a trick question.
There's like DEFCON 5 of dumb questions. That's DEFCON 5.
Why is that a dumb question?
Well, because who do you think I'm picking?
Well, I mean, there's Howie Long the dad, there's Howie Long the analyst.
No, so Howie Long the dad is Howie Long's the dad.
Okay.
That's kind of the way I look at things. I can't separate the two. I mean, and I think the teams that are playing against the team that my son's on understand that. Blood is very important to us.
All right, well, it is to me too, but anyway, thanks,
well,
Howie.
Listen, you have kids?
I have two young kids. Yes, I do.
Yeah, you have a son?
I have two daughters, and if she wins.
Let's say down the road she's on the U.S. soccer team, and she's over in, somewhere in Europe playing in the World Cup. I'll call you hopefully I'm still broadcasting at that time, and well, I'll call you and ask who are you picking this week.
I might pick against her. You never know.
Stop it!
All right,
stop
Howie.
It! All right,
thank
appreciate
you, brother.
It.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Howie Long. DEFCON 5 of dumb questions by a Football Hall of Famer. You really just said that to me?
Did we cut that?
No, you should cut it.
No, he knows what I mean by that.
Oh, a get it to play?
No, clip it.
I mean, it really wasn't that dumb of a question. I mean, and,
well.
What? I mean, well, what? He's still an analyst.
Instead of son.
I mean, what he could have said was, it's very difficult for me to pick against my son, so I'll pick the Eagles, but, and then he frames it to let us know that it's going to be really difficult, kind of like you do with picking the Eagles. Like,
no.
You could tell when you don't think the Eagles are going to win the game based on what you say.
No, no,
yes,
no.
Yes, yes.
No, 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 because I don't have to be Johnny Fan in order to pick the Eagles. I can have trepidation about a game.
I know.
And still go with the Eagles. It doesn't mean I think they're going to lose. It just means every game isn't some easy contest. And, you know, every game's not going to be an easy contest.
Well, the Eagles are kind of like your son, because you picked against them once this year, so yeah. it's similar to Howie Long.
DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
What a dick.
What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I'm serious.
I told you this was going bad, Ben. I told you.
He did. He said in my ear. This.
I told you this was going bad.
Well, it was you and the Cowboys question. That got us like 12 minutes. It's only the second question.
DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
Might have been the greatest moment in the history of the show.
Oh my God.
I was more worried that I was gonna that they have the show and I'm asking them on a Thursday for the final score, because a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, we don't give the score till the day of the show, John, but he took it to the next level.
It's totally uncalled for. Why do you have to go DEFCON 5 of dumb questions?
No, then he laughed. Play it again. Then he laughed.
DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
He laughed. Not only did he insult me and call me stupid, he laughed at me. And you're in the background laughing, too.
DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
Because I know he has, when he goes meathead, he has no filter, you know what I mean? So, like, when they're on that show, I can see when he's turning back into the player again. And that was one of those, we're in the locker room. That's really what that was.
Yeah.
That was the whole DEFCON 5. I don't think he would have said that had not a former player be on the air with him, and he's done the show with us.
Oh, I mean,
times.
I don't
think he would have done that.
You don't have to soften it. I don't take offense. I was just looking for a little analysis of the game. Like, thought it was going to be close, going to be blowout. You think they had a legitimate chance?
I don't want you to ban Howie from the show, man.
No, I like Howie.
Okay,
Howie's
I think Howie might ban himself.
No, I mean, think about it. Right? I mean, you get him on, you ask him three questions, you're good for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? The perfect guest. 888-729-9494. Reaction to Howie Long. Call me a dumbass live on the air. 888-729-9494.
Stop laughing, Ben.
Freaking Howie Long.
You know you're not going to lay this one down.
That's all right. Whatever I could do, I could say. But here's the thing. It wasn't a stupid question.
I don't think it was either.
Yeah, thank you, Ike. Hey, if someone's got my back around here.
Oh, man.
All right, at Mark's Reese WIP, was it a stupid question?
Lord have mercy.
Ben will put it out there.
Of course he will.
Let's take a phone call here before we
question.
We step aside. Robert, South Philly. What's up, Robert? Robert? Roberto?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh, we got home. Let me try again. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Listen, first of all, I want to say that you're better than Chris when you're listening because he whines too much. He sounds like off of Seinfeld.
Oh, well, I'm a whiner, too. So you haven't listened long enough. Well,
Chris, last year I used to want to throw the radio out. Okay.
Well, great. Chris is a good dude and was great on this show. So we appreciate it.
I've been in New York earlier. I go up there for my son all the time. And all they're talking about, and I pray to God it doesn't happen, is that they take Foles. Okay? Everybody up there is talking about Foles, getting Foles. I'm just letting you guys know.
Wow.
Also,
the New York people, they kind of want a little Foles magic up there, huh?
Yeah. That's all they're talking about on a talk show host.
Huh.
Foles. That's the big topic.
I'll take the 6th pick for Foles.
Yeah. Me, but Ike, I agree with you in a lot of ways. My heart says for the Eagles, and my head says, I don't know. So I leave it like that. I just thank you guys for everything. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
All right, Robert.
Appreciate it.
Are
we going to be able to pull this thing back together?
Oh, right now.
Okay.
Absolutely. 888-729-9494. No, I want feedback if that was a dumb question. And I want you to call Howie back, get him on the line. I'm gonna drop F bombs left and right on you.
DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
Boy, I was hoping that did not turn into a back and forth. Listen, I give you props, man.
Yeah, like, I was more shocked than anything.
I give you props because I'm like, oh God. Did he say that?
Hey, do I podcast that segment, or are we?
Yeah, you can. John
Marks calls how?
No, Howie calls my last question the DEFCON 5 of dumb questions.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean,
let's not make this bigger than what it was, Ben.
That's all right. 888-729-9494. It's better than the next caller calling up and saying Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz, Ike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.